Welcome to Federal Sense with your friendly HR guy.
Hello, this is your friendly HR guy again. Today we're going to be talking about the union. If you're a new manager, this is probably the biggest change you're going to experience. Now, being on the other side is your interactions with the union. If your prior job was a covered position, then the union was your advocate. And they've probably helped you out, and they are going to be a lot different now. You being management, you're now on the other side. Your HR guy is an advocate for the agency. The union is an advocate for the covered employees. You no longer have an advocate. So it behooves you to understand how all this stuff works, dealing with the union. Because if you mess up, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And there's a lot of things you can't do. There's a lot of things you can do. And so this is going to be such a big topic. I'm going to break it into a few parts. We're going to talk about reserved management rights, formal discussions, Weingarten meetings, conditions of employment, administrative grievances, all kinds of stuff, how the union interacts with, you know, the business that you're going to be doing. And, you know, some agencies have multiple unions. I've worked in agencies that had three unions, and each one was a little different. Each, you know, collective bargaining agreement was a little different. So we're going to get into it in a few different episodes. I'm going to break it up because it would be like 5 hours if I put it in one. And truthfully, the equipment I have isn't going to handle 5 hours. So I'm going to break it into, 15, 30-minute little breaks, different parts. But this is the intro. So let me go over kind of my thoughts of the union and how it relates to your job as a new supervisor. And I'm actually, most HR people I've met aren't pro-union. I actually am. I see the union as providing a service. And it's not just providing a service to the employee that, you know, pays the dues or doesn't pay the dues. It's providing a service to the agency, because I'm going to tell you don't want the employees getting a lawyer to negotiate their conditions of employment. Because technically, without the union, without an established bargaining unit for those employees, they could each get a lawyer and bargain conditions of employment. You know, think about, you're a manager and you want to make a change to the condition of employment, you know, different schedules, different telework stuff, you know, any kind of condition, and 90 lawyers contact you that, you know, want to bargain. So the union provides a service because we only need to bargain with that one union, unless you're the case of, you know, the agency that had three unions, that was interesting. But let's go to the popular, you know, situation that most of you are probably in, and that's having one union. That's a benefit to you. You have one point of conduct, you know, one point of contact where you get all of these things, and you're not dealing with, you know, 90 people, because that would be the result if we didn't have, you know, collective bargaining. That's why they call it collective, because it's everyone that's covered is going to bargain together. That benefits them because they have more bargaining power, but it also benefits the agency and it benefits you as the manager because you're only dealing with one. You know what I mean? So you really shouldn't see the union as some hindrance or the bad guy, because they're really not. I've been dealing with the union for a long, long time in different unions, probably about six different unions. And I'm usually about 90% in agreement with the unions. You know, they'll come and file a grievance and I'll look at it and it's like, yeah, the manager shouldn't have done that. The manager should have followed the process. The manager has violated the collective bargaining agreement. The manager wasn't paying attention, made a change that they shouldn't have without giving the union a chance to comment. You know, a lot of times the union just gets in their feelings and gets mad because you didn't even ask them their thoughts. You know, it's one of these things where management gets to do a lot of things. And we'll cover that in one of the episodes, the reserve management rights. Management gets to do a lot of things, but before they do those, they're supposed to do something we'll go over, I&I meetings, right? And just ask the union for their thoughts. Ask the union on, you know, implementing an impact. Just get you know, their thoughts, what they recommend, and consider it. And that's something so easy to do is, hey, we're thinking of doing this. You know, what are your thoughts? Let's meet. Let's talk about it. You know, what impact? Maybe we're missing something. You know, use the union like a service. You know, you're thinking about making a change. Let's say you want to put a microwave in the break room. We'll make it real simple. Well, it sounds easy, right? But who cleans it? Who pays for it? Where does that money come from? What happens if it's damaged? Where are you going to put it? You know, what if there's four break rooms? Do you have to buy four? A lot of times the union will come up with actual great ideas. You know, they'll talk to their people. You know, they're covered, you know, the people they represent, and they'll come up with great ideas. They'll do all the work for you. You know, so instead of you trying to rack your brain to figure out what's the best way to do this, you can have a meeting, an I&I meeting, and they'll actually give you what they think is a good idea. And then if you do that idea, they can't really complain because it was their idea. So, but I've seen a lot of times where the union brings up some really good points that, like, wow, I didn't think of that. That's something we need to consider because, you know, the change we're about to make has impact that we don't even see. So understand that you might have this great idea or this change you want to do as a supervisor, and you don't realize that's going to impact your employees differently than you imagine. And so getting the union in a room and just talking about what you're considering, hearing them out, you know, even if it's a reserve management right, hearing them out could actually help you, because the worst thing in the world is making a decision and a change and you know, trying to better the agency, and then the impact is like a nosedive and you didn't consider, you know, how that, you know, the impact of your decision would be, because you're just kind of like, it's a great idea and you didn't want to listen to anybody. So the union can actually bring a value to your office. So that's kind of where I would like new managers to kind of put their head, you know, and you know, start out with the union is a service. You know, they help the agency and they represent these employees. That's good for you as a manager because you're only dealing with one person, you know, or a one group of people. It's so much easier than going to, you know, let's say you manage, you know, let's say you're a team lead, team manager, team supervisor, and you have, you know, 8 or 9 or even 10 people. Going to each one of them and asking their thoughts, or getting them into a meeting and asking their thoughts, that's time consuming. And guess what? Every other team is going to have 10 or 15 other ideas, and it just becomes a cluster. Instead, you can get that branch chief or the director of, you know, the area in a meeting with the union president or some kind of steward of the union, and you can sit there and they're representing all of those people, hundreds of people sometimes, right? And it just makes it so much easier. And I've experienced this where an employee will complain, you know, oh, you bought the wrong microwave, let's say, right? And we can say, go talk to your union. Because we worked with them. This was a team effort. And the employee can't do a grievance because they'll go to the union and want to grieve. You know, they bought the wrong microwave. And I'm simplifying it, but they bought the wrong microwave. The union's not going to go forward with the grievance because they were part of the decision. So it benefits you to have the union be part of these processes because it's going to kind of cover you if something happens that you really weren't planning on. And you know, it's required. So that's the other cool part. So we'll get into a lot of different things, the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, We'll get into Weingart meetings, conditions of employment, formal discussions. So this is stuff as a manager you got to know. You know, a good example, you're doing your performance management appraisal program, you know, PMAP, or your agency might call it DPMAP, or, you know, there's different names, different agencies, but, you know, you're coming up with those elements and those performance standards, and the union comes in and just starts wreaking havoc that you're being unfair and you're breaking the law and you're violating policy. Well, how much authority and how much say do they have in that? We'll go over all that. We'll go over how much power they have, consequences of different parts. So this is just the intro. We're not going to get into anything super crazy, but I want to kind of break down this kind of multi-part series is about the union. And I want you to start off, as a brand new manager, I want you to start off seeing the union as a good thing. Because, one, we can't get rid of them. But, two, it's better than the alternative. And that is just Wild West. Every employee, you know, gets a say, and they all get to hire lawyers. And, you know, I've talked to, you know, Office of General Counsel, and their lawyers are like, you don't understand. The union, we want the union. We need the union to be, you know, here, because I don't want to deal with 8 different lawyers. You know what I mean? Like, it. Can you imagine if every employee got a lawyer, or every branch or team got a lawyer to kind of bargain for them? It would be chaos, and we don't want that. You know, with a CBA, with a collective bargaining agreement, we have agreed on all these articles. So we get to start the year off already having 99% of this already agreed on. That's a benefit to the agency, because we can plan ahead and we know how we need to do things, and we have these processes in place if something goes wrong or it doesn't. If we didn't have the union, you know, then that's, I've heard that from managers, like, oh, the union, and they seem frustrated. But if we didn't have it, there would just be so much unknown. You know, relying only on policy is horrible, because next thing you know, you're getting sued because they feel like they're being mistreated. And it's just, now you have to do that for every employee. It would just be insane. So let's start out this union part that I'm going to be going over as a new manager, with the idea that the union's a good thing, that it actually benefits you, it's going to make your life easier, and it benefits the agency. If you can have that kind of perspective and starting point, you're going to be a good manager, because I think you show weakness when you start bad-mouthing the union, or you think that, you know, this is ridiculous, and that's the worst way to start out, you know, dealing with the union, because, one, I think you're wrong, but two, that doesn't help the situation. You know, because they see that disdain in your conduct and the way you talk to them, and just don't start that way. You know, let's start out with, this is good for the agency. This is gonna make your job easier. They are a service to you as much as to the employee. It's gonna make your job easier, and we're gonna go over how do I utilize as a new manager for the federal government. How do I utilize the union in doing my job? That's what I'm going to be going over. And you know, the requirements you have, the rights you have, and the rights the employee has. This is all stuff you got to know. You're going to get a 15 slide slideshow in a training class, probably taught by a guy like me. And it's going to be about an hour of training, and boom, now you're on your own. They're not going to be kind of as upfront as I'm going to be, because they're not really allowed to, and that is why I'm doing this, to kind of help you as a new manager for the federal government learn those ins and outs and the best way of doing things. All those trainings you're going to take as a manager, they'll tell you the law, they'll tell you what you can do and what you can't do, but they really aren't going to tell you what you should do and what's the easiest thing to do and what's the best way, you know, to move forward for success. That's what I'm going to be going over. I'm going to give you my opinion on what I've seen work and what I've seen be a big waste of time. So I hope you enjoy it. This is the intro. Part one will be next. We're going to be talking about reserve management rights. I hope you enjoy. Have a good one.
Have a question for the HR guy. send it to federalsense@gmail.com.